And now, let us come to the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. We've come through a sobering passage of Scripture, but we come to Jesus Christ telling us we're going to be on the victory side, how it is going to be into eternity future. The Great White Throne Judgment actually marks the end of history. History. It began, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. That was the beginning of history. It goes along for 7,000 years, approximately 6,000 years, since God created man, the 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom. And so for a 7,000-year period of time, there has been history. At the end of the Great White Throne Judgment, history is concluded, and we move into eternity future. In eternity future, there's going to be new heavens, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Might I suggest to you, new heavens and a new earth and a Jerusalem on the earth are not new to the book of Revelation? Go back to Isaiah with me just a moment. Isaiah chapter 66 talks about what Jesus Christ is telling John the Revelator to tell us will happen in the future. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain as well. He's talking to the Jewish people. He's giving them the promise, but here he introduces the new heavens and the new earth. As long as they will last, and they will last throughout eternity, so will the Jewish people remain as well. Back in 65 of Isaiah, he brought up the same thing. Look at verse 17, Isaiah 65. For behold, I create, this is not refurbishing the old earth, this is bringing a new earth into existence. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. It's going to be so beautiful, this new heaven and this new earth. We're not even going to think about the old earth. Verse 18, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. What a time it's going to be, the new heavens, the new earth, in eternity future. Now, there's not a whole lot that I can talk about this as well. I didn't have much to say about the millennial kingdom. We brought up some things to your attention, but there's not a whole lot more that we can talk about when we look at this. Just a couple of chapters dealing with what it's going to be like. The new heavens are going to be there, all of the old heavens, according to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10, will be burned up, and he's going to bring into existence, creating, Isaiah 66 says, a new heaven and new earth and a new Jerusalem. Now, let me just say that the new heavens and the new earth are going to be available for us, and on this new earth, there's going to be a city of Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says, and we'll look at that just a bit more. There's going to be two different Jerusalems in the future, a Jerusalem on the earth, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem, and it's going to be hanging in outer space. We find out that the new earth is going to be the location. Remember what the Abrahamic covenant said? In the Abrahamic covenant, God told Abraham he would give his people, the descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, a section of real estate over in the Middle East, which basically is 10 times what they have today. It includes, according to the 38 passages of Scripture that deal with the biblical borders of Israel, it includes what we know as half of Egypt, all of Israel, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, all of Jordan, three-quarters of Iraq, three-quarters of Saudi Arabia, and all of Kuwait. Now, you can possibly understand the problem over in the Middle East. Those who are not Jewish realize what God is ultimately going to do. In fact, the late Hafez al-Assad, who was president of Syria, said the problem in the Middle East is that these Jews believe the Bible. They believe God's going to give them all this land. That is indeed the case, and in the millennial kingdom, they will have that land. But on the new earth in the future, they will have that land as well, because he said, I will give it to you forever, olam, as long as God is, his eternality is applied to the promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for the Jewish people about the land that they shall have forever. Well, there's much more we could talk about that. Let's get to the New Jerusalem, and let's talk about it just a moment. There's a description of the New Jerusalem, and again, I'm just going to touch the surface with what is actually going to be there. It's a four-square city, for example. The Bible tells us that. It has 12 gates in verse 12. Let's just start right there and look at it. And it had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. Now, by the way, let's look at these gates. There were pearly gates, verse 21, and the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And then it tells us up here in verse 12, and the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That is for the purpose of allowing a tribe to enter that gate. The Jewish people will be on the earth. I said that the New Jerusalem will be not on earth, but hovering in space, like the moon, for example. Next time you look at the moon from your vantage point here on earth, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Let me show you why I make that statement. Verse 22 of chapter 21 of Revelation. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. In other words, God and Jesus Christ will be in the New Jerusalem, thus there is no need for a temple. The book of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 26 and 28, says there will be a temple forever on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, the Bible does not contradict itself. And so thus, we cannot assume that the New Jerusalem will be on earth. In fact, we have to assume the opposite. It will be hanging in space. It will be separate from the new earth. The Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign among the Jews, dwelling, inhabiting himself among his people, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles, who are believers, who come through the millennial kingdom, who enter into eternity future, they're given this piece of real estate promised, and indeed, they will come to worship in Jerusalem. The Bible says the Feast of Tabernacles will be worshiped throughout eternity future. That's Zechariah and chapter 14. There's much that we could say about that, but the New Jerusalem is going to be hovering in the heavenlies someplace. By the way, there are no streets in the New Jerusalem. We talk about walking on streets of gold. I'm emphasizing the S's, or the plurality of that word. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls, and every gate was of one pearl. And the street, one street, of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Look over in chapter 22, verse 2. And in the midst of the street of it. What's my point? Well, there's only one street in the New Jerusalem. What's that mean? We all live on Main Street. Nobody in the back streets, downtown Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, that is where we live in eternity future. There's so much here. I hope that you will study these two chapters and come to a better understanding of the new heavens, the new earth, and the New Jerusalem. We'll have access to the earth. We'll be able to come back to the earth. The Jews and the Gentiles on earth will have access to the New Jerusalem. The Jews in particular going through that gate which has their name on it, the name of their tribe they will enter in. But indeed, the habitation for eternity future will be the earth for the Gentiles and the Jews, and the New Jerusalem for the Christians, the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. What a time it's going to be. John the Apostle receives all this information. He's overwhelmed. He just could not believe what he has heard, but he has to write it down. The Lord told him to write it all down and send it to us. And what a blessing it is that he sent this information to us. We could spend many, many more hours, and I'm hoping and praying that that's exactly what you're going to do as you study the book of Revelation. Let me just conclude with three thoughts as we conclude our study of Revelation. Notice in verse 7, Jesus Christ says to John, write this down for everybody to read, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's how we are to live. We're to live by studying this book and keep the sayings, do what he has told us to do in his only way of communicating through us, through his word. Notice verse 12. Again, Jesus says to John, write this down. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, whatever it shall be. That's why we live this way. That's why we live by the book. Jesus Christ is coming to give us our reward, and thus we live in light of receiving those rewards. Remember, over in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, we take all the rewards we receive from him, we take them to the foot of the throne, we cast them before him in thanksgiving for what he has done. Well, behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keeps the sayings of this book. That's how we live. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's why we live that way. Look at the response of John the Apostle, who wrote the book of Revelation. Notice verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. We know how to live, we know why to live, and now he says he is coming quickly. What was John's response after writing down the entire book of Revelation, all of this unbelievable prophecy that God gave him to pass along to us? His prayer was, even so come, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Your priorities right? Are you looking for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you eagerly anticipate it may happen at any moment in time? Is that exactly what you would like to have happen? Even so come, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. On a daily basis, I pray the prayer. Now, that prayer has not been answered for 2,000 years. It will be answered, and I believe, in the near future. We need to pray that prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. What a time we've had studying the book of Revelation. I hope that we've helped you come to a better understanding of how the book of Revelation unfolds chronologically. I know this is simply the beginning of your study of Revelation. I've been studying the book of Revelation for over 35 years and learn something new from it every time I read it through or study it or teach it to someone else. I suggest that will be the case with you as well. Thank you so very much for spending time with me these 5 lessons on the book of Revelation and how it chronologically unfolds. My prayer is going to be that you will continue to study Revelation, because I do believe we're living in this book right now, and then be able to conclude and pray on a daily basis, even so come, Lord Jesus. By the way, I do believe he is coming very, very soon. The rapture of the church could take place at any moment. And having said that, there's basically nothing left for me to say after this study except, let's keep looking up until.